Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 55 degrees and sunny. Today's Monday, June 24th, 2013. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A dune buggy accident on northern Prince of Wales Island has claimed the life of a 17-year-old girl from Sitka. Alaska State Troopers say Paulette James was driving an ATV when it rolled over and down a steep embankment just before 5 p.m. on Thursday. The other passenger, 58-year-old Kenneth Moorfeld, was flown to Wrangell and is expected to recover from his injuries. Paulette James had just completed her junior year at Pacific High School in Sitka. Faculty members at the school remembered her as a positive force and a model of resiliency. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
In a photo from last spring, Paulette James is wearing a light hoodie and a dark jacket, and she's holding a bright orange king crab by two legs.
That picture was taken at Silver Bay Seafoods.
Hillary Sealand was one of Paulette's teachers at Pacific High School. She said they visited the seafood processor as part of an Alaska Studies class on herring. In the picture, Paulette has a huge smile on her face, but she also looks surprised.
She was, I think, amazed. She had never been that close to a king crab before. I think she was also really proud of herself for being the only one brave enough to hold the king crab.
The picture is one moment from one day of Paulette James's life, but in a way, it might symbolize a larger part of her personality.
She craved new experiences. She desperately wanted to make a difference in the world, and she wanted to be heard, and she really wanted to help give voices to people who didn't have a voice.
After a Pacific High School class on the science and effects of methamphetamines, Paulette organized an event in Sitka to promote resiliency, to let people know that they could make it through their addiction or whatever obstacles they faced in life. In April, she told KCAW that the class made her aware of how people affected by meth could easily lose hope.
You know, they didn't know what it could do to the body. They didn't know that this is their life would completely turn over, that they'd lose their job, lose their family, and everything that they had that they cared about within, you know, months or a year. So that, I guess, is the biggest message that we want to get out there, is that, you know, we care, and that you have that you have value.
So in May, Paulette organized something called a resiliency fair. Groups and individuals gave short performances and talked about what resiliency meant to them. Phil Burdick is co-principal of Pacific High School.
She knew that people needed this fair. She knew that people needed to hear about being resilient. She knew that you needed people in your life to be resilient, and she wanted to be that person.
Burdick says Paulette worked hard on that fair, but she didn't have much trouble convincing people it was a good idea.
She had that kind of personality where, you know, you wanted to be with her. You wanted to laugh with her.
Teachers at Pacific High School still have her anthology of writing from the last year. In her biography, she wrote, "My name is Paulette James, and I am 17 years old. I have had a quite exquisite life, but rather challenging, you might say." A poem she wrote ends like this: "I am the one who is happy in the heart, and from the deepest depths of the mind. I, too, have a glorious sunshine in me that for the very first time in my life is expanding out rays of truth from my soul to this grateful yet careless world." Sealand, the Pacific High School teacher, says that poem is one of her favorites.
Other people's happiness, their community's happiness, her family's happiness, was always so very important to her. She just really wanted to make the world a better place.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Options for bridges and ferries are in the newest Gravina Access Study released on Friday by the State Department of Transportation, with upfront construction costs ranging from $23 million for the cheapest ferry option to $276 million for the most expensive bridge plan. KRBD's Layla Carey took a look at the study and has this report.
While construction costs for both bridge options are far greater than any of the ferry options, all of the ferry options show significantly higher long-term costs due to vessel maintenance and replacement needs. Even doing nothing would cost more over time than building a bridge, according to the draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement. Ketchikan Gateway Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst says he hasn't yet read all 690 pages of the draft SEIS, but he's waded through some of it. He says he noticed the lifetime cost difference between ferries and bridges.
2.5 years ago, the Assembly expressed preference for the two bridge options. They are still under consideration. They remain the cheapest in terms of lifetime cost for access to Gravina by far. The matter will be presented to the Assembly for further consideration. So it'll be placed before the Assembly on its first meeting in August for consideration.
The bridge options each would include a $5 toll, which would be reduced to $2 after a few years. Passengers already pay $5 per person to ride the airport ferry. That doesn't cover the ferry's expenses, though, and Bockhorst affirms that ferries cost more over time.
The ferry systems are very expensive to operate and maintain, and they will continue to be so unless we come up with an alternative.
That assertion is bolstered by the DOT study. It shows that the no-action alternative, which would keep current ferry service with no upgrades, would cost an estimated $590 million over 75 years, which is $60 million more than the lifetime cost of a bridge. All of the ferry options keep the current ferry service intact. They also all include new waiting facilities, restrooms, expanded parking, lighting, covered walkways, and shuttle vans. DOT spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the department has not included its own recommendation in this study.
Part of the purpose of the comment period is for the public to review comments, provide their recommendations, their thoughts, and that's how the department will then use that information as a basis for coming up with a preferred alternative for the final EIS, supplemental EIS.
The point of the project is to improve access to Gravina. Woodrow says each of the alternatives would achieve that in some way. He says there will be a public meeting in Ketchikan in mid-July. They hope to have a recommendation by fall with a final SEIS by spring of 2014. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Rubens Quartet is the latest group of musicians visiting for the Sitka Summer Music Festival. Along with well-known names like Bach and Mozart, the Rubens Quartet is known for playing pieces by modern composers. This weekend, they performed Visions at Sea, a piece by Netherlands composer Joey Raukens. Eric Newman talked with the quartet about how this music is a little different and sent this audio postcard.
We are called the Rubens Quartet. We're from the Netherlands. I'm Sarah Kapustin.
Well, we've chosen quite a few pieces from the 20th and 21st century because we make a point of playing new music regularly. My name is Roland, and I'm the violist.
And I'm Tally, and I'm the second violinist.
I'm Joachim, the cellist.
The piece that we're going to play, Visions at Sea, was written for a special moment, an occasion, in Amsterdam. They had a ship museum that was closed for many years for renovation, and they opened it up in September 2011.
Although it's the newest piece we play, it sounds in a way familiar. So sometimes there are quotes of songs that were sung by fishermen. Sometimes you can hear Baroque music, or even earlier than Baroque music. Sometimes there's dance and fiddle influences.
At the end, he looked in many journals and found diaries from sailors from that time, and he found something about the ultimate sea voyage, according to one sailor, which was to sail so far into the horizon that you go to the heavens. And so he writes that in the music. There's a moment right at the end of the piece where it kind of pops, and that's when you disappear. It's very special.
There's a journey in it, and especially this particular piece, because it is in a way programmatic, and it depicts it. There's a beginning, and it's very calm, and then there's a storm, and then it calms down. So there's a real feeling of a journey for the performer as well as for the listener, I think.
So we thought playing that in that panorama background in Centennial Hall would be maybe the ideal place to play this piece.
KCAW's Eric Newman with a audio postcard from the Sitka Summer Music Festival and the Rubens Quartet. There's been some confusion in Haines and Skagway concerning the rules for Canadian boaters using Alaskan waters. The rules themselves didn't change, but how the Custom and Border Protection Station in Skagway decided to enforce those rules did. And boaters like Don Muir of Whitehorse said it caused a lot of confusion.
You know, we're complying to the requirements for registering boats. We comply to the fishing laws. We're doing what we just don't understand where the heck this is coming from. Like, are we a threat or are we what? What's causing this? We crossed the border going into Skagway, so we're into Skagway as through the port of entry. We don't leave the state of Alaska, so what's this all about?
The Custom and Border Protection Station in Skagway announced in May that enforcement procedures were changing. Canadian boaters were being required to report where they were going and then report into any U.S. ports they visited. At one point, U.S. Customs said foreign boaters would be required to take their boats out of the water and physically bring them to a U.S. border station for formal entry. That would have meant trailering a boat for a 7-mile trip to the border station in Skagway or sailing 400 nautical miles to the Prince Rupert border station. But on Wednesday, U.S. Customs released a statement saying after reevaluating the changes, the agency decided it's in the best interest of boat owners to return to past methods for the 2013 season. The change comes after pressure from nearly 250 Yukon boaters, as well as officials in Skagway. The city's mayor and assembly took the issue to the governor and the Alaska congressional delegation. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for partly cloudy skies. This morning, then becoming sunny, highs 71 to 77. Light winds becoming west 10 miles per hour this afternoon. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs 62 to 68, west winds 10 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Thanks for joining me. Have a good morning.